Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome back. My name is Steve.
I'm Erica.
And I'm Madison.
And I'm Steve. And this is Streaming Things covering Lost. Yeah, that's right. We are covering season one of the hit show Lost. If you are watching right now, you'll notice that Kit Laser
is a woman.
Hi, guys. I've been like this the whole time.
Hashtag time's up. Here we go. Yeah, so Kit is he's out. He is at Sundance right
dancing
now.
Dancing on the sun, baby.
He's meeting Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
He's taking photos of Pedro Pascal across the street.
Rubbing elbows with all the hot celebs.
Yeah.
He's got his name in lights. I mean, come
he
on.
He does have his name in lights.
He's pretty crazy.
We're proud of him. He's doing great work out there. But while he's gone, Erica has volunteered.
Hey, Erica.
Or more likely been voluntold to step up and...
She's being chained to the floor right now.
I had a say in this, everyone who's listening.
Yeah.
Don't worry. We let her out every few hours to see this get sunlight.
Don't
we
worry.
Feed her.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We're watering her.
Don't we worry. We used a tip from Sun to get some aloe on my handcuff scar. So. Yeah.
But Erica is stepping up to be the third host of Lost while Kit is away this week. Before we get into the actual deep dive of this episode, episode 17 in translation, Erica, why don't you kind of get everyone up to speed on like what your relationship is to Lost, since this is the first time you've been on our Lost coverage?
Yeah, sure. So I watched some episodes of Lost many, many years ago, and I got the facts real wrong when I was rewatching it. And also, I started watching it with the show because I'm a huge fan of the show. And I realized that I accidentally missed an episode. I missed episode 6, which would have made this episode, as I was watching it and taking notes, make so much more sense. But I did rewatch it, and it actually changed my opinion of this particular episode.
Really?
Yeah, it wow. did, actually.
Because you and I watched, in translation, episode 17 together.
We did.
And I knew in real time you were having some issues with it.
Some real issues.
But going back and watching episode 6 kind of fixed some of those for
you? Yeah, and I think it would probably be good, I mean, even for the listeners, to kind of remind themselves of what those flashbacks were from House of the Rising Sun, because I had never seen them and didn't realize I missed it. I thought it was really up to date. But you know that that big break with the
Yeah,
with
I was about to
strike.
Say, like, even in the timeline of our own show, Streaming Things, we watched episode 6, House of the Rising Sun, like what, back in... May?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah. I had my facts super confused.
About it's been a minute.
Whose dad's dead? Whose dad's alive?
What? Dead Island. Everyone's dad is dead.
I mean, most of them, yeah.
Except
abandoned
for
Jim's. Parent Island.
At least one of your parents is gone, probably dead, or left you.
You know who didn't get stranded on this island? A therapist. They really could use that. God damn it.
Oh my man. If a therapist got stranded on this island, everyone would be so much happier.
Right? They could just live in harmony, start a new world.
I mean, Locke is basically a therapist in these episodes.
Oh, that brings up another interesting topic. Yeah. Having some religious background myself, I see a ton of religious iconography in this show. Yeah. And it's very... Yeah. Interesting. Very interesting. Even going back and watching the episode that I lost. Got me there.
I feel like we gotta get this. Oh no. This button's coming out a lot.
Accidental puns are happening. The episode that I missed. There was so much religious iconography surrounding John Locke.
Yeah.
He's the Jesus.
You don't fuck with the Jesus.
Don't fuck with the Jesus.
Well, listener, we are covering episode 17 in translation of Lost Season 1. We are, if you haven't heard, we're covering two episodes of Lost a week. So we got this episode on Monday, and on Friday, Lost number 18 or Lost episode 18 will be coming out. Episode 18 is called Numbers. A very hotly anticipated episode that a lot of people are looking forward to. But today we're doing it in translation. Originally aired in February 23rd of 2005, directed by Tucker Gates and written by Javier Griot. I'm not going to try to pronounce his last name. I'm so sorry, Javier. And Leonard Dick. I know how to pronounce that
Dick.
One.
Dick.
If you like what we do on Streaming Things, you can support the show going to patreon.com/streamingthings and sign up at a variety of tiers. And if you don't have money to throw away, that's okay. That's totally understandable. You can support us by giving us a 5-star review wherever you listen to this. You can also email the show at streamingthingspod@gmail.com. We have a P.O. box. Look in the show notes. If you want to send us shit, do that. It's a lot of fun. And but without further ado, let's get into it.
Let's dive in.
Madison, I'm sorry, Erica.
Oh.
You are the newbie of the show.
Oh, yes.
Let's start with you. What are your overall thoughts for episode 17 in translation?
I kind of mentioned a little this already, but I actually didn't love it at first watch. Yeah. I'm not sure that I love it even after having the background information that I missed. It's fine. It's fine. It's definitely not my favorite episode.
The AI algorithm when I put this episode into it is going to be like, quote, it's fine.
It's fine.
Erica.
This is fine. You know, I just feel like a couple of things didn't work for me, and we can get more into it when we deep dive it. But I felt like there was a lot of times where they're like, we really want you to buy into this relationship trauma. And it just didn't work for me personally.
The trauma specifically of Jin and Sun.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, I mean, there were some things that just didn't, it just didn't connect, but that's just me personally going back and seeing episode 6, since I realized that I had missed that somehow, it filled in a lot of the missing pieces for me. It still wasn't enough to like win me over, like, this is a great episode. But yeah, overall, this was okay.
All right. Okay. Madison, what are your overall thoughts for episode 17?
My overall thoughts. So after watching this episode, I was just like, oh, wow. Like, this is a lot to unpack here. Like, we get a lot of deep dive into Jin's background with kind of the relationship with him and Sun's father. Which I know leading up to this point, we had been highly anticipating. And I think Kit even recently was like, I want more of Jin and Sun.
He loves Sun and Jin.
Yeah. So I was like, OK, like this is, I'm happy we're revisiting this. And we do kind of revisit a scene that was presented to us earlier. So I was like, OK, we're connecting the dots here. Like, this is good. And then I feel like there are some other twists and turns as well. Like Sun, we finally get Sun speaking English in front of everybody. And everyone's like,
the big reveal.
What the fuck? You speak English? What the hell?
Took 17 episodes and we finally got that reveal.
And we finally get this like showdown between Jin and Michael, like just building up the sexual tension between the two of them. Oh. And I'm finally able, they were just able to release that on each other.
Yeah. I loved it when they kissed.
Yeah. Such a good moment.
I loved watching their release on each other.
It was so good. Like, finally, good for you guys.
Look away, Walt.
I would say because this episode had so many like highly anticipated moments. It was I do enjoy this episode quite a bit. I don't think it's my favorite, but I would definitely acknowledge this as like, okay, this is a milestone episode for season one, for a lot of things to come to fruition, or there are a lot of, I don't want to say mystery solved, but a lot of like highly anticipated moments have occurred.
Yeah. So I would say that too. Yeah. A lot of the mysteries of their relationship at least are put together.
Yes.
Yeah.
And, I did enjoy diving into a little bit of Jin's like background, like, oh, okay, like we kind of knew like this is what he did, but getting to see it in like in the full element of like, oh, like he was doing it but he didn't enjoy it, that's kind of nice. We get a little bit more of like character development with him as well.
Yeah.
But Steve, please share.
I look at this episode the most favorable out of the three of us. I definitely like it a lot more than Erica. Because as we were watching it, she was like, fuck this episode. And I'm like, I don't know. I kind of like that scene.
Yeah. And, and you're like, well, I don't know. I kind of like it a little bit.
Love what you love.
I think the reason why I think House of the Rising Sun is a much stronger episode than this one.
Yes. Mm-hmm. I think I was more sympathetic to that episode after realizing I missed it, going back and watching it. I was way more sympathetic to that episode than this one. Yeah. But then some of the parts that I didn't like and didn't make sense to me kind of connected. So
yeah. And I do. One of the things I really like about this episode is it's basically doing House of the Rising Sun again. But now you're seeing the flashback events happening through Jin's perspective.
The raw version of it.
The right. Raw, yeah.
The raw. Yeah.
And wriggling.
It's Jin and Sun raw and unfiltered. And and like you said, Madison, this is a seminal moment in the show where a lot of things that we have been building up towards finally have that climax, that crescendo, the whole secret of Sun's knowing
such
English,
a big climax,
and how the two of them their relationship is at a crossroads, and even like the relationship with Michael and Jin and Sun is at a crossroads. And I think the explosion at the end of the episode is satisfying. It comes to a satisfying conclusion in a way that when this episode ends, you're like, okay, cool, I'm excited to see where we go from here.
Yeah,
because no longer are they going to be tugging like, ooh, Kate knows. Ooh, yeah. Michael knows. Ooh, but Jin don't
know. The cat's out of the bag, yeah. Ladies and gentlemen.
I literally, in my notes, I have a note that says, the sun is out of the bag.
Ah, so, nice. The sun has risen.
If I did have
or
to...
Or set. Ah. Yes. We don't know.
The rising sun finally set. Oh, what if this was called the house of the setting sun?
They missed an opportunity.
They really did. But no, this episode title obviously is a joke because you read Lost... In translation. But it's
so clever.
So goddamn clever. But yeah, if I had to rank the episodes, it would probably be somewhere in the middle. Yeah. But I do like it overall. I do think it's great. But now that we've talked about how we like it overall, let's get into the deep dive.
Deep.
And this ain't really a true Lost episode unless it opens with somebody's eyeball.
Eyeballs.
Let me see them peepers. That's what the writers say every... They're opening peepers. That's what all the scripts read. Mm-hmm. But this time we're looking at Jin's peepers. He's at the beach. It's looking pretty. But he's looking pretty somber because he's remembering. He's having a memory. Let's go back in time. And he's remembering the moment with Jin. And he's asking Sun's dad, Mr. Pike? Is that how we're pronouncing that?
I have no idea. He's Sun's dad. In all of my notes.
Sun's dad.
P-A-I-K. Pike?
Yeah. But he's a businessman. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's very busy. He's writing, he's signing papers, and Jin's like, hey, I really want to marry your daughter. She's pretty cool. Is that okay? And he's like, okay, but what are your dreams?
Yeah.
Yeah. He's like, I wanna open a restaurant and then maybe a hotel after that. He's like, okay, cool. Would you be willing to work for me? And he's like, sure, if that means you'll let me marry your daughter. He's like, ha, you fool. You fell into my trap.
Tricked.
How can I trust my daughter with a man who would so easily give up on his dreams?
And then he saves it by saying, your daughter is my dreams. Oh, Jin. Oh. That's so sweet of you.
So cute. Erica, you're hiding your face.
Adorable.
Yeah?
Not at all cringy.
Oh, come on. When we watch...
Your daughter is my dream.
When we were, don't be so jaded. When we watched it together, you 100% were like, oh.
Smitten.
I didn't do that.
What a player.
That was actually just Steve.
Oh, Jin.
Yes, he's just reversing us.
Yeah.
Well, he clearly comes from a fisherman family because he has caught this hook, line, and sinker.
Oh, my God.
But Mr. Pike seems to be like, game recognizes game, and shakes his hand like that. Well played, son. Yep.
Thank you, you kiss ass. You're in.
And if we went to House of the Rising Sun, we would have seen the next scene where he goes and tells Sun that he approved of their union. But now we actually see how that got to unfold, which is kind of cool. In the future, the present, Jin sees Sun disrobing. She's in a bikini. She wants to enjoy
the sun. Let her live.
And yeah, he's not super cool about this.
I'm coming out.
That's what Sun wants to do.
Literally.
That's right.
She's just in a bikini. Like, she's like, chill out, live, bro. Rock that body.
Yeah, mm-hmm. he's trying to cover up. He doesn't want the other people on the island to see what a smoking hot wife he's got, right?
Smoking hot.
But everyone's watching them. They're all arguing in Korean. No one knows what they're saying, but they definitely know, like, hey, cool.
Yeah.
That's not good.
They're all definitely, like, judging. Like, we have a say in this relationship that we know nothing about because we don't know what they're saying.
I forget who it was that said, should we interfere?
Claire asked if they should intervene. Claire, yeah. And then, like, you know, Kate and Jack are, you know,
which being catty. I understand, like, the scenario of, like, the situation, like, is it really our business? But like, they are on this island.
And also within the context of the show, the way that they've presented Jin specifically from everyone else's perspective is they're painting Jin to be very abusive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, he hasn't straight up like physically been abusive, abusiveness to it.
Well, it's always been in the context of her like
uncovering herself.
Well, that, but also just like, he's very like anti-feminist, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, I just he's like,
don't look at her. I don't have a wife.
Button
in your
top. Yeah. Button your top. Don't show your body. He's very.
Don't talk to anybody.
Right.
Which is weird because, like, not that it's weird because I think there is maybe a cultural element to that, but also I think it's interesting how that is such like a major point for him, even though it's not emphasized in the past. Like, that part of their relationship is not emphasized in the past, unless I'm missing something.
I think, and I didn't think about this until I went back and saw that episode again, episode 6, and watched the flashback. I'm thinking, like, oh, you know, what if he's just like trying to protect her? Like, we don't know these people on this island. He doesn't know that she speaks English and can communicate to people. We don't know these people. People could be predators and evil and stuff. Like, cover yourself. Like, don't be flashing. Not that that's okay, but I'm just saying, like, trying to see both sides. Where is this coming from?
It's definitely a very complicated relationship because the island people are only seeing one side of it that they're not understanding. But there is, you can see, and the more you learn about Jin and his motivations, where he's like, he's almost resentful of Sun because he has to keep the secret from her because he's trying to protect her about the truth about her dad. And because of that secret, it's sort of made them grown resentful of each other, and they've pulled apart. Again, none of this is like justifying what he's doing.
It's
just a very complicated relationship that is enjoyable to watch in a TV show.
Yeah, it's interesting
it'd be shitty to live.
It's ironic because nobody can understand what's going on between them because of the language. And then they also don't know what's going on between them either because neither one of them is telling the truth to each other. So.
Right.
Symbolism.
Right. Yeah. Well, Michael eventually steps up because he has a little bit of a rapport with Sun, and he's like, no, man, I'm not going to let him push her around and treat her like this. So he steps in, kind of pushes Jin. Jin's getting upset. But then Sun, twist of fate, she's the one that steps in between them and slaps Michael and is like, fuck off.
She woke up and chose violence.
She did.
And she said, I'm going to wear this bikini and choose violence.
I'm empowered.
Oh, yeah. That's chaotic good.
Yeah, but she smacks him in the face, and Michael's like, what the fuck?
What the fuck?
I was trying to help you. And then we later, she comes out and she's like, I was protecting you, blah, blah, blah.
Really, my violence against you was saving you.
Yeah.
She pulled a Jin.
She did.
She pulled a Jin.
Oh. Silly man, thinking you understand things.
Lost. That's when we get the title card.
Oh, no.
We come back to Jin. He's looking at the watch that he was given by her father to, like, give to somebody in L.A., and then he asks Sun, like, yo, what's going on with you and Michael? Like, this guy, like, always steps up and is trying to protect you. I've seen you talking to him. Mm-hmm. What's going on? She says, nothing's going on, man. You're being crazy. Don't think about it. Back in time, we see Sun getting ready for their wedding. She's getting in her dress.
They both look amazing.
They look so good.
I love his suit. It's very nice.
His suit's great. Her dress is also, like, phenomenal.
Beautiful. Yes. Lots of color. So gorgeous.
Erica, you pointed out we were watching her friend. What does she say?
She's like, don't forget your guests. Wink, wink.
Don't bone too hard. They're going to hear ya. But Sun says something like, oh, man, boy, this is such a great wedding. I'm so happy. I wish your dad were alive to see this. And Jin kind of has a little bit of like, yeah, me too. Definitely not feeling things about that.
Right.
Which in the moment, I assume as the audience, you're supposed to be like, oh, he said his dad's dead.
Yeah, she's all apologetic. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to hurt your feeling.
We should move to an island, maybe a dead dad island.
Oh, my God.
But he gives her a kiss. They're obviously very, very much in love. But then he says, like, hey, you know, or she says, like, it would be great to be going on a honeymoon together. And he's like, well, you know, I've got to do this work for your dad. I want to prove to him that I'm in it. It'll be 6 months. I got to do this management training. And then after 6 months, we can go on our honeymoon. Isn't that great? And she's like,
no,
maybe. But then
I want to get dick down. I can't wait. Yeah,
she's like, this is my motherfucking honeymoon. Damn.
Are you positing that they can't have sex for 6 months?
No.
Dang.
But not on their honeymoon.
Now I know.
No. I'm saying no. I'm not positing that. I'm just saying, like, give her a motherfucking honeymoon.
Yeah.
You're giving her all this sex, other shit.
Honeymoon sex is different.
Come
than
on.
Regular sex.
Yeah. Don't be daddy's little bitch. Give me a honeymoon, motherfucker.
Seriously.
You
know that if Sun would be like, Daddy.
She's too proud. Jin, good for
daddy,
her.
Jin says we can't go to honeymoon because he wants to impress you, Daddy. But I want to honeymoon, Daddy. Daddy, give me a honeymoon.
Daddy, please.
Daddy.
Good for her for not being Farouk Assault.
Yes, Daddy. No, Daddy. Daddy.
No, stop saying Daddy so much. Ew. I don't like it.
But Jin, being the suave, you know, debonair guy that he is, he just plucks a little flower and puts it in her hair. And it's like, hey, baby girl, it'll be okay.
Hey, baby girl. It'll be okay.
Daddy.
That totally works.
In the present, Michael is building his boat. Sun approaches him. And like you said, Madison's like, hey, yo, sorry I slapped you in the face, but I was protecting you because if I didn't intervene and slap you in the face, he would have slapped you in the face several times.
Right.
My violence saved you violence.
It's a family thing. We do it. We punch people and protect them that way.
Come on.
Right.
That's how we protect our own. But she says, you don't know what he's capable of because in Sun's mind, she thinks that Jin has been straight up murdering people for her husband or for her daddy.
Daddy's murdering people.
Daddy, why do you have to have my husband murder people for you, Daddy?
Why are you killing people?
Daddy.
I still hate the daddy.
Daddy.
I love what we're doing with our mics.
I'm just copying you because that's what you were doing.
Daddy. Tell Jin not to kill people for
daddy,
a weekend.
Quit
daddy,
quit making my husband kill people. It's ruining our sex life.
Okay, if it's ruining your sex life, pumpkin.
See, this is how you know the difference between me and
people.
Kit. Yeah, Kit, it would be like, yeah, I'm into this. And I'm like, I'm going to let you go. Say it as much as you want.
Erica, why are you leaving?
I love it.
But, you know, Michael, to his credit, is like, hey, you know what? It's on me. I was sticking my nose in someone else's business. It sounds like he's your problem, not mine.
Fair.
Damn.
Yeah.
I love Michael.
He seems to be the one who has the most level head because he can like come back and be like, no, I shouldn't have said that.
Unless it involves Walt, that. He has the most level head out of anyone on that
even
island.
Even with Walt, though, I mean, just me being a parent and all, like seeing the way he comes back and talks, I'm like, you know what, buddy? I did this thing and I shouldn't have done this thing. And I'm sorry about that. And Walt's like, I'm going to create a polar bear. Okay.
I'm gonna create a polar bear.
And it's gonna kill you, Dad. No, I don't know.
Like, that's hilarious.
Did Michael come to Dead Dead Island so he could be killed by a polar bear?
Oh, no.
Walt's trying to kill his dad so he fits in with everyone else.
Okay.
Oh,
that
man.
Makes so cool. much sense.
Well, maybe Dead Dead Island should be Dead Parent Island because Walt has a dead mom.
That's
so.
True. That's true. That's true. You got me there.
It's about to be Orphan Island.
Dead Parent Island doesn't roll off the tongue.
It's not as cute. Right?
Orphan Island kind of does.
Orphan Island.
Orphan Island. Your parents gave you up because they didn't want you.
I mean, Locke and Walt would live there.
There you go.
Yeah.
And they get along so well.
They do.
Okay, we've invented something for them.
Orphan Island.
Let's give them peace.
Orphan You're not going to get Island. More soup. Jin, he does the most alpha male thing ever and takes out his frustrations with golf.
Wolf.
Which, did you have this written down in your notes? Like, I laughed every time Jin took a swing. He'd go,
yes. The sound design was just beautiful.
His noises, his golf noises.
I hope that was like somebody else. Oh, like they were like soundbiting another person doing that and just dubbing it over him.
He's like, I didn't get a honeymoon, so these are my honeymoon noises.
I don't want Sun to hear my noises.
That's why they didn't have one.
Liam.
Wait, do it and I'll do the hitting of the rock. 3, 2, 1.
Liam.
And Hurley tries to, you know, kind of check in with him because they have a bond. They peed on him. Or Jin peed on Hurley.
Yeah.
He's like, hey, man, I figured you might want to relax. I don't know exactly what Hurley was trying to offer to do to relax.
I don't know either.
I thought they were two fishing poles. Like, let's go fish.
Oh.
Let's go fishing. Like, that's how we bond and we catch things.
Let's do another manly activity aside from golf. Let's go fishing.
And
okay, so that makes sense. Yeah, because I wasn't sure what Hurley was trying to do, but fishing makes sense. And that, and again, I always at this point in the show, I love kind of stepping back and trying to just put myself in Jin's head. Like, is this dude that was like trying to get you to pee on him walking up like, hey, dude, I know you're golfing and going through stuff, but
let's go work.
We want fishy.
Yeah,
me want a fishy.
Like, I'm hungry.
Me hungry.
Oh no.
But yeah, and Hurley's like, all right, man, I tried. If you want to be an outsider, that's
your business.
But also,
in Jin's defense, he can't understand what Hurley's saying.
I was annoyed with that.
So, like, I don't know. I think.
Fine, be an outsider then.
Be a dick.
Hit those, what you're saying. Hit those rocks.
No, I was being one.
Right.
Yeah. Brother fucking Shannon knows how to do a perfect bowline knot. And Saeed is like super. He's like, oh, a woman who knows knots. Hello. And he's got some riz. He's like, I was worried you were going to be a spinster on this island, getting overweight and stuff. And being so alone. He says that. He's like, and being alone.
You can tie a knot. The next step is knitting.
And Shannon's like, oh. And she suggests that he get some rope, and I'm like, oh, Saeed hopes he can push some rope later on, if you know what I'm saying.
She suggests first that she she fucked a lot of sailors, so like, back up off me, Saeed. I learned this from other boyfriends.
I do enjoy this flirtatious.
Yeah.
Do you ship Shannon Saeed?
I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Erica?
I ship their happiness.
Comment redacted.
Oh, I think you and I are on the same team.
I just think that he is too smart for her. I think that she had potential and she made choices. They weren't great. And not that she can't be redeemed, because she could. Yeah. But as she is now, she hasn't made a ton of strides to redeem herself.
I just think it's a weird choice to like make so much of Saeed's backstory being like, oh, I love this woman,
fair.
Nadia.
Yeah, that's fair.
And then as soon as
the
hot blonde lady in the beach is like, hey, let me do a thing for you. He's like, oh my God, a bowline knot.
I can tie knots with my tongue.
Can you tie it?
And I know how to French. I mean, I know French.
Can you knot a cherry stem in your mouth?
Probably.
Oh, man.
I guarantee Shannon has that that trick in her back.
I mean, you know, Saeed has needs. Shannon has needs. Let's not judge him.
Again, I don't want to shame Shannon much. Because, you know, she's on a journey.
She's a human on a journey.
Yeah. And Saeed just, what it really comes down to is
Steve's
I'm jealous. Yeah.
Steve's jealous.
I want to tie knots for Saeed.
Yeah.
I'm going to tie him in a knot.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Fair.
Makes sense.
Super fair.
But Michael tells Walt as they're building, like, hey, man, you're going to love New York City. There's this cool building. It's the Flatiron Building. It, like, inspired me to get into drawing. It's where the Daily Planet is, or the Daily Bugle, whatever the Spider-Man paper is.
Right.
And Walt's like, all right, cool. Can I go play with Vincent?
Right.
Like, don't care.
Has zero interest in Michael's interest.
Cool, man. I'm going to go play with the dog.
I really wish, like, when Walt said that, Michael was like, yo, man, we just had an episode, like, 2 weeks ago where we really bonded. What the fuck happened?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the relationship, but you're not a cool dog.
Point, yeah, it's been a little inconsistent, but mm-hmm. that's fine.
Yeah, but Jack checks in on Michael. He's like, hey, just so you know, people are starting to talk about this boat. And they're going to want on it. But guess what? Who already is on it?
Sawyer.
Sawyer. He bought his ticket on the boat. So there's only one spot available. Assumingly, there's Michael, Walt, Sawyer, and one more person. Madison, what do you think about this turn of events that Sawyer has bought his ticket onto the raft?
I was a little taken aback by it. I wasn't anticipating him taking that opportunity. I don't know why. To me, he just seemed like kind of like, I don't fucking care if I live or die type of situation. So it's a little weird for me to see Sawyer's character so, like, obsessed with this idea of, like,
getting off the plane.
Yeah. So I was like, oh, interesting. But I guess the way that they leaned into that was Sawyer has the supplies that Michael needed. So they had to make a bargain in order for Sawyer to get onto the boat.
Yeah.
But still, this idea that Sawyer's, like, desperately trying to get off the island is a little faulty to me for his character. But at the same time, I'm like, you know what? He's also a schemer. So whatever way he can, like,
is he bringing
figure this shit out?
Is he bringing a stash with him onto that boat? Like, when they leave, he's like, sorry, suckers, all this stuff's coming with me. Have fun surviving.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Well, so we cut to Kate. She's asking Son, you know, hey, how long are you going to let Jen treat you like that, girl? Yeah. Woman to woman. What the fuck? You deserve better than that.
Right.
My lady. And Son's like, hey, he used to be tender.
He used to be soft and sweet. Now he's hard and bitter.
Now he's a big old bitch. But then it's nighttime. There's a big commotion. The raft is on fire.
Oh, no.
Everyone's trying to put it out. They're throwing sand at it. It's not really working really well. But Michael immediately suspects Jen.
Can we just talk about how hard they were working to put that fire out? Like, people are like, I got this little cup of water in my hands.
Was it water or sand? I thought they were throwing sand at it. Some of it was
water. Like, literally, you put, like, 2 tablespoons of water in your
hand. But I feel like
by the time you get to the boat, there's nothing
but
there.
But I feel like by the time we see the boat, it's, like, completely engulfed in flames.
Yeah.
Like, there's no saving that.
Definitely.
No.
So I would just... Everyone join together, get warm, you know, and just enjoy it.
Hopefully a real boat finds that, sees that out.
Hey, we got two of them now. Yeah.
So Michael really wants to break Jen's neck, but Jack's like, hey, I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know if it was him or not.
It was him. It could have been.
Why am I the only one out of breath?
It could have been the ghost of Ethan.
It could be the ghost.
He came back from the dead.
Yeah,
it's a rushing morning.
Son goes back to the caves and she finds Jen, who's already there looking for medical supplies. He's hurt. He seemingly has a burnt hand or something. And she's like, oh my God,
you did it.
Dun,
bum, bum, bum.
Bastard.
Dun, dun. Back in time. Jen apologizes to Mr. Pink, Son's daddy. He's apparently something happened with, like, the car, because he does something with cars for him. I'm not too entirely sure.
So. I think it is a car company, like a factory of some sort.
Yeah. And he's like, hey, man, I'm so sorry that the factory's closed. And he's like, no. Hey, you're not being upset. I'm here to promote you. You're my new special assistant, whereby you assist me in killing motherfuckers. Wink, wink. Do you know Bu Hang? That bitch is closing the factories. I want you to tell the message. What's the message? I'm very displeased. And Jen's like, oh, fucking
easy.
Easy.
Cool.
Easiest job ever.
All right. Do you want to write it on a sticky note and I'll just take that over there? And
Son, I just got done talking to your dad. Apparently he doesn't know phones exist. He doesn't know he can just call this guy and say he's upset, but hey, whatever. It's what your dad wants.
Easy money.
And I do kind of like how the scene plays out. He goes to Mr. Hong's place and is like, hey, he's very displeased. And this dude thinks he's going to murder him. And he's like, I'm so sorry. Please don't. Oh,
don't do it in front of my daughter.
No, yeah.
Go kill me. Let's go in the back room where you can kill me there.
Yeah.
And yeah, the guy's so relieved that Jin is just like, he's real upset with you. I don't know why he didn't call you. It's kind of odd that we work for this guy who owns several businesses and doesn't know that telephones exist.
Right.
And this guy's so happy. He gives Jin the dog. If you remember, this is the dog that that he gives Sun in House of the Rising Sun.
Yes.
And this is just a little girl's dog that was like, shut up, little girl. We're taking your puppy.
Right.
I mean, but your dad's alive. I mean, I get it. But at the same time, I guess that's the most valuable thing he could think of.
Guess as like a way to apologize.
Right here. This is a valuable thing. Take it.
It's a championship breed, Erica.
I mean, look at his little girl's tears. Okay. You're right. She'd be crying more if her dad was dead. That's a fair point.
About to say a really bad
joke. At a funeral, she'd be crying more than her dog.
She could gain entry on Dead Dad Island.
Oh my God. One way ticket.
Your daddy didn't open the store, so he was murdered. And now he lives permanently in Dead Dad Island.
Suddenly on the beach, some little girl pops up and like, where the fuck did you come from?
Dead Dad? Yeah, we all.
Yeah.
It's all of us.
How did I? Oh, bullet one?
He didn't give up a dog? Oh, that's cool. We got a dog.
We have one.
Yeah.
You can have it.
Meanwhile, in the present, Boone and Saeed are talking. Saeed wants to like kind of do the respectful thing and be like, yo, I think I'm about to fuck your sister. Just want to give you the heads up.
Listen, sister fucking Boone.
Sister fucking Boone.
I want to fuck brother fucking Shannon.
The way he says it is so like, hey, it's very possible that you and your sister and I may become more than just friends.
Yeah.
I mean,
as if that wasn't obvious the past couple of episodes. I'm sure Boone.
Boone was like, she tell you the knots thing? Yeah, I fell for it too.
Oh, God. No.
But Boone tells him like, hey, she likes guys who can take care of her. You fit the bill on this island. Once she gets what she wants from you, she's just going to move on. Mm-hmm. Don't take it personally when she does.
Yeah.
Damn, Boone.
Mm. I mean.
And I'm a little like, so Saeed goes to Boone to like give him this courtesy of like, hey, just, I feel like this is definitely a bro code thing. Like, I don't know if like two women would necessarily do this.
We don't look at other people as property.
Right. Yeah, you're right. So it was.
I thought you were marking me to edit out. At a point, she's being crazy.
Shit, I forgot what I was going to say.
So sorry. He was like doing bro code. He was doing bro code is what you're saying. He's doing bro code like he was being nice
like
about it. Yeah.
So I guess at this point, I'm still like, because Boone and Saeed's relationship isn't really established. Like part of me thinks like, oh, yeah, Saeed recognizes that like Boone is close with Locke or whatever. But like Saeed in the end kind of takes Boone's word for truth later on like kind of dismisses Shannon, and Shannon recognizes that like, oh, you fucking talked to my brother, like you're gonna believe him. Like, so it's interesting, you're putting Saeed in this like who do I believe type of scenario, which also kind of puts the audience in that perspective too of like, oh, who do I believe? Because we also know the history of Boone and Shannon in this way of like,
and Shannon was kind of duplicitous and you know,
kind of,
yeah,
but also like
very duplicitous.
She was also running a con.
I mean, but at the same time, like she was almost doing it as like a survival technique,
exactly,
too, because she was kind of fucked over by her stepmother, via Boone's mom.
Yep.
So it's like, you know, you can't. It's
Should
hard.
They both fuck Boone's mom? Is that how they make the world even again?
Two wrongs do make a right.
Yeah. So I'm still, as the audience, trying to figure out who I consider to be in the right between those two characters. I kind of want to give Shannon the benefit of the doubt, having to like, in terms of like her versus Boone and like whose word to take over the other. I side with Shannon more than I do Boone.
Yeah, because Boone definitely is more vengeful in what he's
saying. His wound is very recent.
Yeah.
Like they that just happened before the plane crash. So he's speaking, he's forgetting all those years of like happiness that they shared together and like where they were brother and sister actually. And he was looking out for her and he's got this very recent thing that's kind of like
holding over
him.
Yeah.
That's fair. But again, like putting Saeed in this like, oh, I'm having to choose who to believe. But like kind of weirdly believes Boone and like leans into Boone's.
He's a calculated man, Mr. Saeed.
Yeah. And he knows, but he also fancies himself as someone who knows when people are lying. I mean, you don't torture that long and don't get that skill.
Right.
And in his mind, just talking to Boone, I'm sure is torture. So, I mean, he's like, he knows that Boone is at least from Boone's perspective, telling the truth.
Right.
Yeah.
That's true.
Whether his perspective is right or not.
Shannon has more to hide.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. But Jin wakes up in the woods. I didn't take note that he still has that handcuff on his wrist from like way back in the first couple seasons
or episodes. From episode six.
Is it from episode six? Okay. I knew it was early on.
Because he beats up Michael and they handcuff him.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's been on him since episode six.
Yeah.
Yes. He's had it on that whole time. Michael is the one who actually like set him free. He chopped it off the other half of the handcuff that handcuffed him to whatever was.
Assuming the other half is still stuck to the fuselage.
The fuselage.
I was like, wow. I thought it was a continuity error. I was like, oh, was there like a scene where, because he was also by himself. And I was like, because he kind of stormed off away from Sun. I was like, did he like have a confrontation with Michael? No,
that's just like part of his like fashion now is that haircut. They can't get
it's
it
a
off.
Beautiful
him.
Bracelet.
Yeah.
That's going to suck on his wrist.
But he's like in the island. He's like in the jungle or whatever. And Sawyer finds him.
Messed up my ride, chief.
Yeah.
And just curb stomps him, knocks him out.
Ties him up.
Shannon's making tarps. And this is when Saeed kind of comes up and he's like, hey, you're pretty capable. You can hang up tarps. That's pretty cool. And he pretty much tells her like, hey, I think you should find another friend to build your shelter. Boone got to me, and Shane was like, sister fucking Boone. She goes in the woods to find Boone. Instead, she finds Locke. She's like, hey, you guys are jungle pals. Where's he at?
Where's Boone?
I love this like little joke that John Locke's make. She's like, if he could say it to my face, and if you find him, and she's like going off and rattling off like all these grievances she has with Boone.
That Locke needs to tell Boone.
Yeah. And then Locke's like, should I be writing this down?
Yeah.
It was a good scene.
And then this is Locke again, sort of being the youth pastor of the island.
Youth pastor. God. I wouldn't say youth pastor.
Oh, no. He's more effective than youth pastor. Yeah.
Being the intuitive, like recognizing, being the all-seeing.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Man,
advocate for the island, like everyone gets a new start on the island. Yeah, this can be yours.
You're a grown woman, like you're fully, you don't have to like get, yeah, like dig at your brother. Yeah. Like you yeah. can just do but, what you want.
That was a great kinda, meaningful thing that he said. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, but he also is kind of doing something, at least I think, that's serving himself, where he's like, hey, if you do this, you're giving him exactly what he wants, which is your attention. He wants your attention.
Mm-hmm.
So even though like John Locke is being, you know, he's portraying himself as like this, like, I'm helping everybody realize their full potential. He's also being a little selfish in a way.
Absolutely.
He does not want Boone to.
I'm going to free my lackey. This. Absolutely. Yeah.
That's my bottom. I don't want my bottom running off again. Right.
But at the same time, that was a really powerful thing that he said. Like, hey, everybody gets a new start. We're all fucked here. Everybody's fucked here. It doesn't matter if you fucked your brother or your sister. We're all fucked here. Yeah. So let's get a new start. We're basically,
Boone has a dead dad, right? Is one of their dads dead?
I don't know.
I think Boone's, well, I don't know if they're dead.
No,
I know
just that divorced. They're separated. We don't know that they're dead.
They're dead to us.
Yeah. Absolutely. I don't know what he did, but he's dead to me.
Yeah.
Back in time. Here
Wait, hold on. We see Sawyer has Jin tied up. And and Sawyer tells Jin that favorite. It's like Lord of the Flies. You're fucked, basically, is what Sawyer says.
This is my favorite part of the episode, because I'm like, what is up with this close-up shot? Did Vincent accidentally run off with the camera? Because it's like, mouth of Sawyer, eyes of Sawyer, what is happening?
Yeah. The
like,
camera work in this shot is so weird, because it's an over-the-shoulder handheld camera.
Okay, we're selfieing this shot, okay? Get it right. You don't know what selfie means, but...
Yeah, they're just focusing on Sawyer's mouth, and it's really weird the way it's filmed. Yeah. Wild choice.
Yeah. Wild choice.
Definitely a choice.
This episode was sponsored by BetterHelp. Folks, it's 2024. What does everybody do in the new year? They make resolutions. They set goals. How about we don't do that? I mean, you can. It's obviously nice to have goals, but it's also a good exercise to focus on things that you like about yourself. You know, not making all those high pressure goals that you might fail at and just feel worse. You can set smaller goals. And I think therapy can be a good way to access things that you enjoy about your life and focusing on the positive, the gratitude. And BetterHelp is a good way to do that. If you've never given BetterHelp a try, it's therapy that's entirely online. You can do it all from your home and access a therapist by filling out a questionnaire. And if you end up not liking that therapist, you can switch. Again, along with the theme of this ad, no pressure whatsoever. They're not going to have their feelings hurt by it. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. Celebrate the progress you've already made. Visit BetterHelp.com/streamingthings today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/streamingthings.
Happy New Year, everybody. New year, new chances to be thankful for everyone around us. And we are so thankful for every single one of our Patreon members. But now it is time to give a special shout out to our super patrons for the month of January. So thank you so much to Sebastian Generali, Sean Callahan, Stanton Valentino, Bryce Coppin, Susie Callahan, Anthony Corona, Infamous, Sunshine, Huckleberry Cauliflower, Mike from New Hampshire, Brett X, Emily Scarano, Lil Tickler, Svento7, Jay Scramo, Haley Anderson, AK Ashley Ray, Adam Busby, Wendy O'Loughlin, Jason Hawkins, Big Butthorn, Conrad, Kaylee Sampson, Rabbit Dog in a Barbie Car, Charlie Friday, Alexis Adler, Peaches, Emmy, Haley B, Joe Velez, Michelle, John Collins, Amber McVeigh, Amanda King, Trisha Bueller, Sunloving Mortal, Suzanne Rode, Lauren Waller, Jen Robinson, Kalisha Reeves, Aaron Armstrong, Kevin Strother, Orion Moore, Ashley Powers, Stephen V, Casey McCain, and Enza. Thank you all so much. And with that, let's get back to the show. Back in time, she's made a dinner for Jen. It's a very nice dinner. It looked delicious. Me personally, as someone who loves seafood and sushi, I was like, fuck. I want that right now.
Fuck.
But she's like, I want to enjoy a meal together. We haven't done that in a long time. And Jin's cell phone goes off and he kind of throws the cell phone. He's like, hey, no work tonight. It's just you and me, baby girl. And that's when then the house phone rings and you can just see it in Jin's face. He's like, fuck, I don't want to. God damn it. I need to answer this, but I really don't want to do this. I want to be with Sun. But he chooses to help out her dad. And he's like, hey, why is the factory closed? I thought I told you to tell him a simple fucking message. And he's like, I did do that. You could have called him and told him yourself, but I don't know. But this is when just like, oh, shit, he wants me to like kill this dude, because the whole time there's this other even more special of an assistant who's like, who's like got a sniper or a silencer on a pistol when he's wearing a white tux because he ain't worried about getting that bloody. But yeah, he's driving him to Mr. Hong's house and he's like, all right, here's the plan. I'm going to go in the house. You're going to keep the car running. And then when I get back in the car, you're not going to run any red lights. You're going to go the regular speeding limit. And Jin's like, oh, shit, he's going to kill this guy. And Jin takes it upon himself to rush into the house and just beat the piss out of him in front of his family and everything.
Yeah.
And before he leaves, he's like, hey, man, the factory opens tomorrow. I just saved your life. Jin looks at the little girl. He's very upset with himself.
The other guy is like putting his gun like in his jacket. Like, okay, I guess I'm not killing anybody tonight. It's fine. No big deal.
What a buzzkill.
Right.
am I still getting paid?
All right.
Okay. This has never happened before. The driver went rogue.
I did. So I think this is definitely on my Mile High Club moments. But I did like this scene because I thought, you know, up until this point, we've talked about it, how Jin's character perceived on the island is very violent. Is, you know, there's a lot of darkness that kind of surrounds his character. But this kind of was shedding some light on, like, how he is as a person. Like, he genuinely didn't want this guy to die. And so, he, you know, he chose the route of the lesser evil scenario of like, well, I'm just going to beat the shit out of this guy so that way he can at least survive and not, you know, have his family see him get murdered.
He saved his life twice because like he's like, the dad the first time was like, you're going to go murder that bitch. Give him the message. And he didn't get it. He's like, okay, I'll hand deliver this message to him very literally. And then the second time he's like, oh, you want me to deliver a message?
Yeah.
Okay. And so he basically saved his life twice. And even though he beat the shit out of him, he's still like, I don't want your daughter to see you die in front of her. Yeah. I'm not this person. I'm not a murderer.
Like, I think this episode in itself, I think, was the redeeming quality for the audience to like Jin and to sympathize with him.
Turn him to a sympathetic character.
Yeah. Exactly.
Absolutely.
To give him that benefit of the doubt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though you should just let your wife
be
a little naked on the beach.
Sure, like, it's fine. Just
let her do that. It's fine. No big deal.
Let her do it.
Yeah.
Let her get in the bikini and then you get up on the beach and you look at everyone's like, huh? Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. You say, hey, look at my hot ass wife.
She loves me. Not you.
Mr. Insecure. Anyway.
And then Jin rushes back home, and this is where we kind of pick up from the scene in House of the Rising Sun, where his hands are all bloody. Mm-hmm. He's trying to wash his hands off. Son's like, what the fuck? Why are you? Is that your blood? Whose blood is that? Did my father make you do this for you? What's going on?
What do you do for him?
And he says, like, I do this for us. And she slaps him. She's very upset. She leaves him. And then when he's by himself, Jin starts crying, and he's literally choosing to be an outsider in his own relationship. Because he wants to protect Sun from the truth of what her father is. And
so manly of him.
I know. It's so good that he's protecting the frail flower of a person that Sun is.
The damsel in distress, his wife. God damn it. Gotta protect her.
Yeah. And
she's too sensitive to know the truth. She's weak.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, we're really not making it easy for you over there.
Oh, I'm. Yay! Down with the patriarchy.
Hell yeah. Honestly, when I figured out it wasn't just about horses, I kind of lost interest.
But back in the present, Sawyer brings Jin back to the beach. Michael wants a piece of him. Like, you burned my boat, son of a bitch.
You burned my fucking boat.
I did notice that Charlie was wearing a crime hoodie in the scene. And if any of you listen to our Hot D coverage, like, my first thought was like, ooh, did Charlie burn the boat? Because he was wearing that crime hoodie.
Yeah.
But this scene is so well done because everyone kind of like comes out of the beach. There you go. Madison's got her crime hoodie on now. Everyone comes out of the beach. They're all shouting at each other. Jack is like, hey, we don't know if that was really him. And Michael's like, fuck that. I want to kick his ass. And the whole time, Jin has no fucking idea what anyone's saying. And I really love there's this little bit of sound design.
My favorite part. Yeah.
They cut to Jin's perspective and they like make it so everyone's just saying gibberish and nonsense.
Yeah.
And you really just see this, like, he's in a really bad bind. He's got his hands tied. He just got kicked in the face by Sawyer and everyone's yelling. And it really is a scary moment. And then finally, Michael and Jin start like fighting. And there's this funny moment where like Jack's like, oh, we got to stop him. And someone's like, no, no, no. This is between them. Michael and the guy that doesn't know anything that we're saying.
Yeah.
No, just let them go.
And that's enough to stop Jack. Like, ah, yeah, I guess it is between them.
That's right. This is bro code.
You're right.
Bro code island.
thank God. I was really hoping I didn't have to find someone else today.
Women don't matter island.
Yeah, and finally, so Sun,
I think they realize, like, Sun realizes in this moment the only way that this is going to be resolved is if I say something.
Yeah. She has to intervene. Nobody's going to intervene on behalf of Jin. Yeah. They all assume he's evil. She's the only one who has inside information, and she knows that they're just, like, going to create a villain and destroy a villain in front of them because that's what they made up in their minds. So, she has to do it.
Yeah, so she finally steps up and says, yo, stop it.
Stop it.
Leave him alone. Everyone's is surprised. Like,
The fuck? You speak English?
Wait a minute.
I was talking shit about you. You heard me? You knew what I was saying?
Fuck.
You heard me say how hot you were? That's fucked up.
She said that Jin burned his hands trying to put the fire out. He was apparently the first one there to arrive on the scene. And Michael's like, well, why did he run? And it's like, well, look what's going on.
Yeah.
And the whole time they keep cutting to Jin, who's just laser focused on
Sun. Fucking confused. Looking like, so what?
Confused and upset and sad. Because I think in that moment, like, even he knows, like, that he had a hand in pushing her towards whatever this is. It's very sad. Finally, everyone's lying and like, you're lecturing us, Sun, on lying when you, like, I think Sawyer even says, like, even your own husband looks like he didn't know you could speak English.
Yeah.
And I love how they all turn their hate towards her.
Which I kind of was like,
what the fuck? Jin beat the shit out of Michael.
Yeah.
She's doing something to stop the violence. And everyone's like, well, we all hate you now because you lied.
You could speak English this whole time. Right. Like, the whole logistics of the thought process behind everybody is a little wonky. I agree. Especially because she did bring an end to, like, this very violent episode that was happening between the two of them.
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand everyone's like, why didn't you just say something? But in the context of, like, their marriage, like, I'm sure, she was probably like, that's why I didn't say anything.
And it's kind of,
she's very torn. She's in the, like, she still apparently cares about Jin.
Well, yeah.
But at the same time, like, you know, she's, I don't know. They both have their secrets from each other. And
Yep. But John Locke comes in to save the day as well. He's like, hey, guys, why are we fighting amongst each other when the problem's out there, guys? Out there. The enemy's out there. And he actually has a pretty good.
Yeah.
Honestly, I agree. Like, in the moment, because truth be told, I had forgotten who burned the raft. So his explanation was like, well, yeah, obviously that's what is happening. There's others out there on the island. We're not the only people here. Clearly, they're the ones who have burned the island because we have struck war with them by killing Ethan. And this is their vengeance upon us. And everyone sort of kind of buys that. They're like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes complete and total sense. Yeah. Thanks, John Locke, for coming in and telling us how big dummies we are.
Yeah. Always being the voice of reason.
Yeah. And everyone leaves. And I really love this wide shot of Sun and Jin. They're the only ones on the island. And Jin leaves her alone on the island. It's very sad and like, aw.
I stuck up for you, you bitch.
Yeah. but Michael's inspecting the burnt raft. He can't salvage a thing. And he apologizes to Walt for like yelling and getting upset. And he's like, hey, man. You know what? I'm sorry I got upset, but that's life. We could start over. Let's start over. And Walt's like, really? You're just going to start over? Let me help.
That's a callback to, like, he really is a great parent. If you think about it, he's like, I overreacted and I was an idiot in front of you. Let me start over and let me help you understand what happened, why I was that way. And we can do this over. That was really great.
Yeah. I appreciate his recognition of, like, acknowledging the fact that, like, he is
human.
Yeah.
Michael's come a long way in his parenting skills during his time on Dead Dad Island.
All the dead dads pitched in, taught him some lessons.
Let me tell you the mistakes we made so you won't do them
yourself.
That's
what the whispering is.
Yeah,
it's whispering, it's parenting advice.
All the dead dads. Which
a tooth fairy gets 25 cents a tooth.
What? The fuck? Should the dads be giving dad advice?
I don't
know.
I want to be on Dead Mom Island.
Yeah.
The birds and the bees talk happens at 13.
No. What?
What? Okay. Well, I know what island I want to be.
Why are the trees telling you this? But we cut to Jin. He's packing up his stuff. He's going to leave. He's going to leave the cave. And, you know, Sun asks him, you know, when did we stop talking? Because he's not saying a word to her. He's very upset. And eventually she like yells at him, but in English. So he, again, has no idea what she's saying.
I was going to leave you.
Yep. You made me change my mind by giving me a flower and having all that goddamn riz in the airport.
I hated this scene like the first time I watched it.
You made me think you still love me.
Yeah, I hated this scene because I'm like, okay, if she really wants to save their marriage, why would she scream at him in English? But then I realized the whole plan that she had in episode 6.
Yeah.
The flashback. She had a whole elaborate ass plan. Yeah. She was going to leave him.
Leave him.
Make him think she was dead.
And then she saw that twinkle in his eye and he had that flower. He's like, hey, girl.
Oh, you listened to me when I said, remember that time when all you had was a flower to give me and now you're giving me all this riches and shit, but you're being a dick. So, yeah, I got it a little bit more having gone back and seen that. So I get why she screams in English. She can't really tell him how she feels because they're both withholding from each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's still withholding. And I think that's the sad thing is like this is the way that she can like confess, but she's not really confessing.
Right.
Because, again, he and has neither no is he. Idea. And from his perspective,
the whole
you have to
time,
imagine.
He never has.
Well, yeah, he has it. But you also have to imagine from his perspective as well. Like he's upset that she kept the idea that she knows English from him. And now she's yelling more English at him, keeping more secrets from him in a way. Mm-hmm. You can imagine like in that moment, he's like, what the fuck? I'm like, this is not helping.
And yet I'm a hitman and haven't told you yet.
Right.
What the fuck?
Well, he literally hits men.
Someone's going to play therapist on this island between the two of them.
It's going to be John Locke.
Send me.
Huh?
It's going to be John Locke.
For sure.
No.
Or Kate.
I would like Kate. I would accept her.
Yeah. I would tell him my problems.
Or what's that lady? The Rose? Donna? Rose.
Rose.
Rose. Rose.
Donna. Who the hell is Donna?
I don't know.
Yeah, Rose.
Where's Rose been? Yeah, we haven't seen Rose in a while.
She needs to help Rose them out. Except she's a little religious, though, for me. So maybe she's not the best therapist. Anyway.
So, Sun says, hey, I just want to go back to the beginning. Can we start over? We get a little flashback back in time where Jin goes and reunites with his father, who is very alive. Much alive and well.
Another secret he kept from Sun.
He was ashamed of his dad because he's a fisherman and he wouldn't have lived up to the expectation of Sun's father.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is really sad to think about.
And his dad is almost comically way too kind because his whole thing is like, oh my God, my son who disappeared.
Here.
Buddy, what? You're married? That's dope.
That's amazing.
Oh, you're ashamed. You never told her that I'm alive because you're ashamed that I'm a fisherman and you're worried that this class. Of, bro, I get it.
I get it.
Oh, you gotta kill people? It's a good world. It's okay.
It's fine. Just do it one more time.
He literally said it's a good world.
Well, Jin doesn't tell him that he beats up people.
Yeah. Well,
but I feel like if Jin
he's
had,
implying
he would have
something.
Been like, oh shit, maybe it's not a great world.
Well, he implies that he's not happy with the work that he's doing for Sun's dad. And so Jin's father is like, well, you know, just kind of cap it off and then, you know, fix your marriage.
Yeah.
Ultimately, the dad is like, I think you like your marriage should be the most important.
Relationships are more important than wealth.
So his dad's actually the one that gives Jin the idea, like, let the watch deliver be the last thing you do for her dad. Go to America, save your marriage, walk away.
I'm picturing a moment where Jin is like looking at the watch and then throws it into the ocean. And then that's when he goes and talks to Sun. I'm calling it right now.
You're calling it right now?
I really hope that happens. Honest to God, it better.
Madison,
better.
She's calling some watch catharsis.
Calling it.
Drown that watch.
Symbolism. I'm calling it.
What's that movie where there's a guy, he's going through some catharsis and he has like a letter and he goes to throw it in the ocean, but the ocean breeze keeps blowing it back into his face.
Are you
and
thinking
he keeps
of
like,
Arrested Development
is
and
that
Job
Arrested Development?
With the check?
Yeah, it is Job with the check. Yeah. I love that scene.
I thought you couldn't get sand in a watch anyway, or it would stop because it gets in the gears. I learned that from All Dogs Go to Heaven.
Great movie. Great movie.
It's a cartoon.
Great movie.
Okay, great.
So we cut back to Jin and Sun. Jin says it's too late. Sun cries and he walks away and he kind of pauses for a moment. Like you think he's going to like
pussy ass bitch.
But then he's like, no, she'll probably speak English to me again. And I'll be really confused. And he leaves her. But everyone's on the beach. Saeed's watching a campfire. Shannon joins him and they kiff.
Kiff.
Did you like this kiff, Madison?
Yes, I did.
You did?
I love a little kiff.
A little kiff.
But I said, Shannon, consent, ma'am. You just walked right up to him and laid it on. She knew he wanted it. Let's be real. Let's be real.
I think consent was given a while ago.
Yeah.
Another mystery of the island revealed.
But you're right. Always ask for consent.
Always.
So you'd ask what that was for. And she kind of repeats the line that Locke said. Everyone gets a new start on this island. Let's start now together. Speaking of Locke, Walt is getting ready to play Hurley and backgammon to give Hurley a chance to win some of his money back. And Locke joins him instead. And they have another little heart to heart. You know, we find out that Locke does indeed have a dad. He is not cool, though.
No.
So we'll find out more about that, I'm sure.
Probably because he gave him a fur top.
Probably. He must have sucked in some way or another.
He didn't Sometimes want
people,
me.
People like can't do the right thing, so they're like, giving you out is a good thing. But if he's saying, if John Locke is saying he wasn't a good man, I suspect sinister acts at play.
Yeah.
But they both acknowledge. Well, go ahead.
Oh no, I was going to say that Locke literally just says like, "Hey, can I ask you something? Why'd you burn the raft, Walt?"
That was a big bombshell, bro.
How'd that affect you, Madison?
I was like, fucking Walt, man. What the hell? Because remember, I keep thinking about that episode where he was like, he was interpreted as this like very ominous, like evil kid
he character.
When his mom died, he conjured and the bird, the polar bear. Yeah,
fucking sabotaged their way off this island. Like, what a selfish asshole. I was so like... I just was like, I'm tired of moving. Motherfucker.
This isn't a home.
Stupidest ass excuse I've ever heard.
You can't get mail here. This isn't a residence.
What? I don't know. Like, I see the thoughts of like a 10-year-old. Like, I get it. But like to be so committed to that, like, I don't want to move. So you burn your dad's raft that you watched him work on for weeks.
Here's the thing. I think it would have worked better.
Steve said, it's justified.
No. I'm not saying it. No, because it is kind of a silly justification to like, I'm going to burn dad's raft. Like, the excuse is
terrible. Yeah.
No, but here's what I think would have been better within the context of the show. So we see Walt does have that anxiety of like, oh, I like it here. I kind of want to stay here. Sure. Like, maybe he does. That's true. But maybe Walt just conjures the fire with his powers and he like burned it accidentally. Like he was like,
I don't think he wanted a polar bear to kill him. I agree. Like there's something weird about his powers. Like I don't think he wanted a polar bear to kill him. Maybe he wanted to be in danger so his dad would save him so he could see if his dad loved him or not. But yeah, like this one, if he accidentally with his powers, I don't know. It's not really explained well. It was an accident with my powers. I expected it to be an accident, but I also knew that Walt did it from the time of the fire because you see him like, run towards it like, oh shit, everybody's paying attention to this. I'm gonna go help. And Michael stops him like, no, it's on fire.
I didn't mean for everyone to know that.
Exactly. I kind of like, that's kind of the look he was giving me.
Right.
So I pegged him as having done it.
I did not catch up on that. It was a shock for me when I found out that Walt had done it. Cause I think up until that point, I was just like, oh, like it was just like, the bad juju of the island, somebody from Russo's team or someone from Ethan's team. I don't know, but I was not expecting Walt to do it. And then it was like the camaraderie of both of these characters. Cause Locke acknowledges to Walt that he also likes being on the island.
Yeah.
So there's
just a little of this like commonality amongst these two characters that really are not bad. Like, they're not the villains of the show, but, like, in the context of them wanting to kind of keep everybody on the island.
Yeah.
Oh, makes them a little bit...
ominous.
Yeah.
A little bit.
So, it was... I just was like, shit.
That led to my mistrust of John Locke.
Yeah.
He's always got advice. He's always got a parable. And what did he say on the beach? Hey, our problem's not here. Stop blaming each other. It's out there. Mm-hmm. But he fucking knew that Walt did it.
Yeah.
I don't think that's necessarily nefarious.
You're a John Locke apologist.
I am a John Locke apologist. I'm not gonna lie. I am a John Locke apologist.
He might have a double agenda, though. He wants people to be afraid, but he also doesn't want to give up.
But I also
this child. Right?
I also wouldn't maybe give up the child because that could be that could turn very south for that child if someone found out.
For people
that,
who don't get it. Yeah, how kids are.
I mean, you saw what Sawyer and Michael did to Jen for thinking he did it. Yeah. Like, imagine, like, I could see Sawyer kicking a kid, like, beat the shit out
or
of a kid.
I guess just, like, I think Locke, being the intuitive person that he is, or that, you know, I can understand he would see, okay, he knows Walt did it. I think he sympathizes with this 10-year-old's mindset of, like, he doesn't want to move, and, you know, I think it would be more justified in Locke's protecting of Walt if Walt was like felt bad about burning the raft,
but he had any sort of remorse.
Doesn't.
At all.
Yeah.
I feel like he does. Cause I feel like he does mostly because of the scene with Michael previously.
Hey,
cause
can
he
I
realized
help?
How, yeah, he realized how important it was to his dad. And then, I think that's where
I think he had regrets.
Regrets. I think he still wants to stay on the island.
Yeah.
But
but
surprise, surprise, surprise. The next morning, Jen shows up with some bamboo to help Michael rebuild the boat. And fuck yeah, that was a big like high five moment for me. I love
that. He's like, did we just become best friends?
Didn't we?
Yep.
Did we just trauma bond over a woman?
Yep.
Let's become best friends.
So bad. No applause for that.
And then Hurley's listening to music. He's, you know, we end the show
that.
Saeed and Chandler are doing their thing. Sun goes making full out. Bikini.
Here's the thing. As soon as I saw that, I'm like, Dobby is free.
You mean Sun.
Sun in her bikini, like she was allowed to do before. Now she's free.
Dobby has a bikini.
She's a free elf.
Now I can't get the image of Dobby in a bikini in my head. Thank you for that.
And he died on a beach. So think about that.
Yes.
I was a little uncomfy by like the top to bottom shot of her body.
That was male gazing for sure.
It started off so nice because it's this beautiful wide shot of her releasing
look at her ass though.
It starts this beautiful wide shot. The wind carries her robe or whatever she had. She looks great. It's a beautiful shot, and then it cuts to a close up of her. Still great, and then the camera starts panning down, and I'm like, no, Cameron, don't.
I immediately cringed
Cameron
when that happened.
And then they're like,
Snyder cut.
They're like, zoom in, zoom out, zoom in closer,
and then they cut. Like, oh, come on,
but I did like it was just kind of like the montage of like kind of capping off where everybody is at the end of this episode. I did like the abrupt like music stop. The Walkman
was super fun. Yeah.
The Walkman died, and Harley's just like,
son of a bitch.
Fuck. And then that's it.
That's it. Lost.
In translation.
Which brings us to Beach Please. Let's see if I can do that different every time.
Do it again.
Beach Please.
Oh, it's a haunted beach.
Is that dead dad giving the Beach Please segment?
It is. So Beach Please is going to be relatively short for this episode. Not a lot of fun facts I was able to dig up, but I did find a couple. So Jen, this is kind of a continuity error that I think is funny. In this episode, we get a whole new continuity error that is very funny. So if you remember in The House of the Rising Sun, Jen brings home the puppy, right? Mm-hmm. And it's like, here's this puppy. We got it for you. And we see how he got the puppy. Now, in the timeline of the show, the next day, her dad's like, hey, the factory's still closed. Go send him a real message. And that's when Jen goes and beats him up, runs in. He's got blood on his hands. Well, in the context of House of the Rising Sun, when that scene plays out, Jen coming home with the blood on his hands, that dog is full grown.
Mm-hmm.
So in the con,
he walks right up in there in the bathroom for a second and walks out.
So in a day, this puppy has been gone from a puppy to a full grown dog.
It's magic.
Which is kind of funny.
It's tough. That's tough.
Yeah, it's one of those contexts. I'm sure when the writers wrote it, they weren't like, oh shit, that was a grown-ass dog that we had.
I'm sure nobody... Yeah, I'm sure the writers were like, they're not gonna... Yeah. They're not going to know. It's fine.
Also, yeah. It's probably way harder to train a puppy to follow someone into a room than a full-grown dog.
Yeah. Well, be surprised.
They wrote these episodes at different writing stages of the show as well. This episode, based off the ranking system that I've been referring to on IMDb, this episode is ranked 19th. So relatively low. It's ranked pretty low on
the
list.
That's kind of shocking.
Yeah, that's surprising that it's 19th. Yeah.
It's a little shocking.
I don't think it should be that low.
The fact that it's above the Charlie episode.
Yeah.
Right? That's a little weird.
That is a little weird. I agree. That one was rough.
And this next Beach Please was actually sent in a couple weeks ago from listener of the show, Antonio. He DM'd me on Instagram with this fun little fact, and I've been holding on to it for an episode that featured Walt. So Antonio writes in, Malcolm David Kelly, who is the actor who plays Walt, is the MK in the music duo MKTO. And you might know that band from their 2015 one-hit wonder classic.
Shut up! I'm looking that up right now.
Do you know that song?
Yes.
Yeah? It's a pretty good
song.
Yeah. I honestly was not super familiar with it before.
What?
Yeah, that's Walt, baby.
Oh my god.
Shut up. Wait, hold on. That just blew my fucking mind.
Are you a big MKTO fan?
No, but I love that song. It was like, I would have been a junior in high school. Sorry.
It's okay.
That's just the automatic response to.
Sorry.
But wow.
That's wild.
That's crazy. I only know that band from that one song, so I don't know how successful they were.
I think it is called a one hit wonder.
Okay, so. Amazing.
But yeah, Malcolm David Kelly, MK in MKTO. So thank you, Antonio, for writing in that little tidbit. That was so fun to find out.
Yeah. Awesome.
That has been this week's edition of Beach Please. Which brings us to our mile high favorite moments, where we rank our top three favorite moments of the episode. Let's start with Erica this time. Ooh. And we'll go around. Erica, what is your number three favorite moment of the episode?
I think my number three favorite moment was Saeed. He went up to Boone and he was like, hey, you know, trying to have that bro code moment. Mm-hmm. And Boone was all pissy about it. And he's like, hey,
just so you know,
I was extending a courtesy. I was not asking permission.
That was hot.
That was hot. Stupid, like, sexy Saeed. I was asking you for your permission to date Shannon. I was just telling you, gonna
just
do
it. You know,
to give you time to accept it.
Oh, it's gonna happen.
That's so funny.
It's gonna happen.
That was my number three.
Madison, your number three.
I'm having a hard time picking, but I'll commit. I felt like there were a lot of good moments. I really liked this episode with Jin's backstory, but I liked my number three is the continuance, or I should say like the better explained bathroom scene between Jin and Sun, where you kind of, this is kind of where this scene like happens, like the previous moments before, and then it being, there's more context to that scene. Where the futuristic dog, the very quickly grown dog, enters the bathroom.
Hilarious.
But I liked that scene. And then you also kind of get this emotional release from Jin crying in the mirror. And, you know, as the audience, you're like, oh, he really does have a good heart. He's just in a very shitty situation. So that's my number three.
That's Steve. A great number three. My number three, I know you guys are familiar with Island Boys, right? Island Boys. That
I think
song.
You mentioned this last time.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Madison, you weren't familiar.
But I'm familiar now because you recently.
It's a real tragedy.
Exposed me to,
it's
me.
A real
exposed
tragedy.
Me to it.
It's a real rough moment.
My number three favorite moment isn't quite Island Boys, but it's Boat Boys. When Jin shows up with the bamboo and he and Michael are going to be working together. Oh, I don't know, something good. About that pairing of letting bygones be bygones, and they're like going to work together to get off the island. Something about that's like, bro, let's fist bump it. Let's hug it out. Let's hug it out. Babe, let's build a huge boat together. That's right. They call each other babe. Babe, let's build a huge boat together. It's going to float on that water. We're going to catch waves. And leave our worries behind. Hakuna Matata, baby. Erica, what is your number two favorite moment?
My number two moment is the scene where we catch Jen and everything's going on around him in chaos, and they have taken the sound design and everyone who's speaking English, it all gets turned to gibberish. So that way you get to hear from Jen's perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, all these people are in chaos. Everyone's so angry. And he doesn't know what's going on.
Like, that is a good scene.
Can you imagine? Like, that's so hard. Like, how do you cope with that? What do you do? I guess you are pure fight or flight in that moment.
How do you
blame him for anything that he does during that moment? Everyone's fighting in chaos around him and he doesn't know what's going on. That's really difficult. So that was actually my favorite, because I loved being put in that different perspective. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody wants to hate on Jen from the beginning of the episode when he's like, what are you doing out in your bikini? You know, like, ho, like, yeah. Cover up. Don't show off my goods and like treat, you know, you think he's treating her like property, because we also don't know what he's saying to her.
Yeah.
And then the Titus turns and he doesn't know what anyone's saying about him. So yeah. It must be really difficult situations. I actually appreciate the perspective that scene gave.
Yeah, that's good.
Madison, your number two?
My number two is the scene where we find out that Jin's dad is not dead. He goes to visit his father, and I think he's trying to reconnect with this element of his past. Like, he appreciated himself prior to being jaded by Sun's father, even though Sun is like this amazing person that he has married, you know, he still is wanting to like be reminded of who he was before. And so I think his dad revisiting his dad, telling his dad about like what he's done, I guess not like knowing that his dad would be very forgiving, was really sweet to see, but also just Jin kind of reconnecting with understanding like the groundwork of like what he actually needs to do, which is fixing his marriage. And so I thought it was a very sweet moment between him and his dad. And that's why it's my number two.
I think that moment is interesting too, because, you know, I was irritated with the acting about his dad being so happy. But then I just remember just now while you were talking, like, oh yeah, he thought his son was like not gone. Like, he had lost his son. He's just he doesn't give a
fuck.
He's
just happy he's there.
About what he's saying. Yeah. He's just happy that he showed up.
Yeah.
And it's all about relationship. And that's what he advises him to do. Like, it doesn't matter, you know, all these details. What matters is human connection. Like, save your marriage, save your relationship. So yeah, that's a really good moment.
Lovely. Lovely. I feel like we're really bonding.
What's your number two?
Yeah. My number two is, I think it was Madison's number three, and that's Jin saves a life. Just the scene of, so Jin sort of like being a man of action and like saying like, no, I'm not going to let, Son's dad get this guy killed. So he steps up, he beats the piss out of him and says like, I just saved your life. And then it leads into the washing of the hands and, talking with Son and like, hey, I do this for you. Like, It's a complicated scene, but it's very good at sort of like showing you like he is in a really rough spot, and is he making perfect decisions? No, not at all. But he's a human being, and he's not the monster that you could easily see him being if you don't speak their language, know his backstory, know what he's going through. And it just adds so many layers to that character. And that's why I think that's my number two. I really, really enjoy it. What's your number one, your favorite moment of the episode, Erica?
All right. This one's a complicated one, but not really.
Okay.
My number one favorite moment is like as they're fading out on the episode and Sun is in her bikini, because
it's that butt shot. You wanted that butt shot?
It wasn't that. Like, it was the fact that she was like smiling, like, Debbie is free.
I'm free.
Like, and it's complicated because she gave up a lot to get there and she doesn't want to have given up what she had to. So it's super duper complicated. But it's like a really powerful moment because, you know, like she loved her husband. She was going to leave her husband. She doesn't know what's going on. They're having these really complicated feelings, but she's still able to like, you know, recognize within herself that she's finally getting to be able to be free, finally being able to be a person. She gets to feel the sand in her toes, the sun on
the
her
wind
skin.
In her hair.
Hey, feel the rain on your skin. No one else can feel it for you. but yeah. Like,
amazing. Miss Natasha Bedingfield over there. That's great.
But like, honestly, that moment for her was like kind of powerful. Like, I gave up a lot.
I felt a lot, but now I get to be a person. And I think that that's the first time that she's been able to be a person in the series so far. So I love that part. That
just was my completely number one. Raw, like not needing to like look over her shoulder and need the approval of somebody else.
Exactly. Exactly.
It was a good scene.
That was my number one. Madison?
My number one was the, I think it was your number three or number two, where it's essentially the scene where Sun speaks English for the first time. And there's that commotion on the beach between everybody, and Jin is, you hear all of like the moshed English language to kind of give perspective to what Jin is hearing. But it was just a very intense moment, a lot to take in, especially like between Michael and Jin, between Sun and Jin, and then everybody else coming to the realization, oh, Sun can speak English. Like, what does this mean moving forward? It was just a very intense scene. I like how it was filmed. And I thought the acting between Jin and Sun, those two actors, was really, really good. So that's my number one. Steve?
My number one is Sun's out of the bag.
Yeah, nice.
No, this scene where a lot of great stuff's coming on. I mean, like you mentioned, the audio design from Jin's perspective, Erica, that's great. And just the whole like the climax of this 17 episode long story arc of Sun having this secret, and it finally coming out in this explosive way. It really it's a satisfying payoff to this. Now, I'm interested to see where, you know, this relationship goes, not only like Sun and Jin's relationship, but their relationship to the group at large. Like now that, you know, people are kind of like, oh, we can't trust her now. She can't even talk about how she knows English with her husband. Like it sets up very interesting dynamics. And now we don't have to tiptoe around like, who knows that Sun can speak English? Like how can we get Michael or Kate in situations where she can talk to them? But now she can just talk to people.
Really?
And we can like move forward with this. And I'm really excited about that. And it was just a really well done scene. And that's why it is my number one favorite moment of the episode, which brings us to our passenger princess. Who was the best actor of the episode? Erica, who is your passenger princess in translation?
My passenger princess, I know this was a very Jin-heavy episode, but my passenger princess is actually Sun, Yoon-jin
nice.
Kim.
Nice.
I felt like Jin was doing a great job. Don't get me wrong. I think the trouble is in the direction and that he is such a stoic character that he doesn't often feel. And so he does break down into moments of feeling. But I feel like the moment when Sun screamed, like, leave him alone, it was so visceral. Like, her voice when she's screaming, like, gave me chills. And I just believed her. Like, she was doing such a great job with that. So that is why my passenger princess is Yoon-jin Kim.
Madison?
It was a tough choice between Yoon-jin Kim and Daniel Dae Kim. I did land on Daniel Dae Kim, I think, mainly because I don't think I had given him the award previously. And I believe I had given Yoon-jin Kim the award for a previous episode. So, and I do think he did carry a lot of the episode, just being on screen the most. So I think that in itself deserves the award. But also having to dive into the difficulty emotions of like bearing the weight of like hiding your life from your wife and life from your wife.
Life from
and so I think he did a really good job this episode, all things considered. So Steve,
I'm going to agree with you. So I gave Daniel Dae Kim my passenger princess as well. This is a very tough choice. I think if you pick, either of those two actors, cause they're both crushing it on the screen in their individual roles. I just lean towards giving it to Daniel Dae Kim for this episode specifically because the episode does revolve around him. So he's required. There's a lot required of him to like keep the episode together. But also I'm just so impressed by him specifically just because he's playing this actor who's acting off characters that he can't understand. And I think he does that so well. He walks this tight line of like not making the scenes like like not enjoyable because it's like someone who's just not in the scene with their scene partner because they're just so removed from what's happening. Like, but he's able to like be in the scene with them, but at the same time illustrate that he doesn't know what's going on. And even that one scene you mentioned when Sun screams and it's visceral and it's a very powerful, raw delivery. And I think that's 100% true. I also think just that cutaway to him and seeing him process,
confused
and processing, like, did she just speak English? And just the hurt, the confusion, the pain, the guilt is on display there. And I think that is a very subtle way of acting. And it just impresses me every time.
I think he does a lot with subtlety.
Yeah.
Yeah. He can express a lot with just a little.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I've given it the award to him before, but you know, I felt like I had to give it to him again. Which brings us to our last segment, Lost and Found. We're keeping track of all the mysteries. Are there new ones? Are there old ones? Have they answered any? And this is another episode where I don't think they answer anything. I think we're continued. The questions are still there, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does anybody have any new mysteries to add to the list? Because I did not pick up on any.
Yeah, I can think of.
I think when Kit comes back next week, next Monday's episode, we'll run down this list again and make sure we haven't skipped anything. But I don't think anything was added.
I don't think anything was added.
Yeah, nothing was added. Nothing
very,
was answered.
A very character-based episode. Yeah. I don't think they focus on the island very much at all, if any. I mean, that one little blip from John Locke, like, hey, you're all fighting about what we're doing, but the problems on the outside, that was like basically the only mention to anything that wasn't going on interpersonally within the characters of the island.
Yeah, I agree.
Everything else was pretty character.
But so that pretty much wraps up this episode of Streaming Things, episode 17, Lost in Translation. I want to thank Erica for being on with us today. Thank you so much.
I'm happy to be volunteering.
Erica will be joining us on Friday as well for Numbers, episode 18. Check that out on Friday. Wednesday, though, we have a very special guest. It'll be Madison and I and a very special mystery guest. We will be covering the movie Yesterday by Danny Boyle, chosen by patron Charlie Friday. So look forward to that on Wednesday. It's kind of funny. Charlie Friday, look forward to his episode on Wednesday. The real episode on Friday is Lost.
Yeah, I know.
As I'm saying it, I'm realizing it now. And I'm like, oh, shit, this is kind of a weird thing. Maybe we should have like leaned into that. But hey, that has been Streaming Things. We got to return some videotapes. My name is Steve.
I'm Erica.
My name's Madison.
And I'm Steve. And this with Streaming Things. Happy streaming.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.